Welcome back, my friends, to the Derate the Hate podcast. I am your host, Wilk of WilksWorld.com, and I am so incredibly grateful that you are taking the time to join me for another powerful DTH episode. Friends, at the Derate the Hate podcast, it's all about bettering the world one attitude at a time. See, we did not create the hate, but with your help, we can derate the hate. That all starts with gratitude and personal accountability. We cannot control everything that happens to us in life, but we can control how we react to it. No matter what happens to us, how we react to it makes the difference. Friends, there is only one good thing about a bad attitude, and that is that we have the ability as individuals to change it. Here on the DTH podcast, we strive to bring you great guests and provide tools to do just that. Please be sure to share it with your friends. Subscribe if you haven't done so. Ratings and feedback are always greatly appreciated. And with that, let's get to this week's episode. Once in a while, I have one of those conversations that just goes in many different directions. And that's why I love this podcast so much. It doesn't always center around one topic. Sometimes it centers around a whole bunch of them. But one thing I go back to a lot, my friends, is how do we find purpose in life? How do we make sure we are the right kind of person to leave the legacy that makes our days on this rock worthwhile? This is one of those conversations that took a few more turns than I expected, and I'm sure glad it did because, quite honestly, it got me thinking about things that I personally haven't had to think about in quite a while. Yeah, so I'm really glad it did. This was an incredible conversation, so... You know, when we find ourselves loving our partner more than we love ourselves, we often overlook our own worth and potential. It becomes challenging to recognize and appreciate our own strengths as we are constantly focused on meeting the needs and expectations of our partner. However, it is crucial to remember that we cannot truly be the best version of ourselves for someone else if we neglect our own well-being and self-care. By prioritizing self-love and personal growth, we gain the capacity to nurture a healthier and more balanced relationship. Only when we are in tune with our own needs and self-worth can we authentically give and receive love in a way that enriches both ourselves and our partner. Friends, a huge part, especially for men, a huge part of that self-care, that self-nurturing, is finding our purpose. As my guest this week will tell you, many find that purpose in five F's: faith, fitness, finance, family, and freedom. Now, Frank Rich is an author, entrepreneur, former bodybuilder, and men's health and recovery coach. After starting Frank Rich Fitness in 2016, Frank has successfully helped thousands of men around the world transform their lives through the art and science of muscle building. But after a series of life-transforming events and spiritual awakening, Frank knew that he had a much larger message to share with both his audience and the world. Frank's goal with his podcast, the Superhuman Life Podcast, is to help others overcome the everyday challenges and battles that we're all facing and provide real actionable steps and insights to inspire others to create the life that they were designed to live. Welcome to the DTH podcast, my new friend Frank Rich. There are definitely a few turns that you might not expect in this conversation, so don't miss it, and make sure you stay tuned for the end because there are five questions to help you find your purpose. Here we go. Frank Rich, thank you for joining me on the Derate the Hate podcast, my friend. So good to see you. Thank you for joining me here today.
Welcome. Grateful to be here, man. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So when you reached out, Frank, I wasn't quite familiar with you, but I'm so glad that I've now become familiar with you because I've looked into a lot of the stuff that you're doing. You've got some really inspirational material out there. I know you've got a big presence on Instagram, a big presence on YouTube. You've been pumping out videos, just these little inspirational videos for several years now. And so just for the DTH listeners, Frank, Let's start off kind of telling people where your background was. I mean, I know it started with bodybuilding, but there's so much more to it than that. So, Frank, tell the DTH listeners, who is Frank Rich?
Yeah, absolutely, brother. God, who is Frank Rich? It's a big question that could kind of be gone in so many different directions. You know, you mentioned a handful of things there. I think bodybuilder, you know, content creator, entrepreneur, you know, my background, God, I guess, where do I ultimately start without taking up all of this? So yeah, man, I think if I had to really kind of sum up who I am, man, I think ultimately I'm a coach at heart, man, you know, and as cliche as that sounds, that is the reason why across all of my social media platforms over the last couple of years, I've navigated to that title. And when I think about a coach, like, what is a coach? A coach is a leader. A coach is a motivator. He's an inspirer. He's somebody that brings out better in others. And, you know, looking back across not even just my adult life, even into my teenage and even childhood years, I think that was a recurring theme where I always saw more in people than maybe they saw within themselves. And then once I did get into kind of the workforce, like I was very blessed early on in my career to have some amazing opportunities and acquire some really high level skill sets in the leadership space, in sales, influence. This was in my early 20s. And I think a lot of that has led me to many of the things that I'm doing today. So, you know, I host a podcast called The Superman Life, where, you know, it's our mission to help men level up in the five key areas of his life. And I think those are faith, fitness, finance, family, and freedom. But everything is across that mission is rooted in, and I think this is why we resonated with each other, we were attracted to each other, because it aligns a lot with your message. It's in that personal responsibility and really self-leadership. I think a lot of people's problems in their life are a byproduct of lack of individual self-leadership skills.
Right.
You know, they struggle to lead their everyday life. So yeah, I know I'm rambling now, but yeah, Coach Frank Richman, I see the good in people, and I've had amazing people in my life that have brought me to where I am. And I think a big part of all of our purposes is to why we're here is to share unique gifts, skills, things that we possess. I think every human being has a few key gifts that they were born with, and
sure.
I think it's a part of our purpose is to share those with others to bring the better out in them. So
yeah. And that's one of the things that stood out, Frank, in some of the videos of yours that I've watched so far, is, you know, you talk about people, and this is something I've talked about too, is, you know, people often don't see in themselves what other people might see in them, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it just takes the right coach, the right mentor, the right person to look at them and point out for them what they probably don't see in themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it's one of those things that's incredible, because, you know, we get to meet all kinds of people. Now, you and I are, you know, we're content creators. We do these podcasts. We get to meet people from all over the world, and that's very cool. A lot of times people, you know, they end up getting stuck in these bubbles, and especially now in the age of the internet, so many people just kind of get stuck on the internet, and they get stuck in maybe these little secluded things, you know, stay in their room and stay in their own little bubble and whatever, but they don't get out and experience life and experience different people and do different things like we used to when we were growing up. You know, so having that coach, having that right person to be that mentor, to maybe point out those things to help you see the value. One thing I've been talking a lot about, Frank, on the Derate the Eight podcast is this human value initiative, finding out and realizing your own value. I think a lot of the problem that we see today in people is the fact that
they don't realize how valued or how valuable they are, and how valuable other people might see them. So it's this tough thing. So it is important to have a good coach, somebody that, you know, and especially you. I mean, I know you talk about, you know, most of your stuff is geared towards men, and you're talking about the faith and the family and the fitness and things like that. Those five F's, finances and fitness and freedom, all those five F's, incredibly important to building out this whole of our humanness. You talked about purpose. Mm. Purpose, we as human beings all have to have purpose, and we all do have purpose. But so many people get stuck in this doldrum where they don't understand what their purpose is anymore. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about that, Frank. What does purpose mean to you, and how do you show people, you know, that when you're coaching people, how do you, two things, you know, that human value, how do you show them how valuable they are, and how do you bring out in them that purpose that we all need to understand?
Yeah, can I respond to some of the things you said though? Because you shared so much, so much value there, man. It's like for me to not comment on some of that, I would be
go
like,
for it, brother. This is our conversation.
We'll circle back to what is purpose. How do you help people find the value within themselves, man? But you hit on God so many things, man. I was having a conversation yesterday on the podcast with a marriage coach, somebody that works with men. Oftentimes, once they've already reached the point where their marriage is kind of falling apart and the wife is kind of asking for that separation, that's where a lot of the men that come to him. We almost were having this back and forth debate where we couldn't seem to agree on this, because he made the statement in our conversation that all of these men love their wife. Like, they have a hard time understanding like why the woman is asking for the separation, because deep in their core, even though maybe they've lacked in showing up in the marriage as the husband they should be and the husband that the wife deserves, they still deep in their core, like, they love her. Like, there's this, like, this true, just deep agape almost type of love.
Right.
And I said, yeah, that's the problem. They love her more than they love themselves. And I think it's chiming in on what you were saying there.
Wow.
It's like,
yeah,
people don't see the value within their own selves. It's like, we do more and we love others. And oftentimes many people love their pets more than they love themselves. Cause I think that people that are struggling with making progress in their life, you know, I specifically work with men that, have an issue with a compulsive and addictive behavior with porn. And a lot of times, like, I have a hard time understanding, like, why do these guys continue to struggle and not follow through and do the small daily things? I believe it's a small daily set of habits, actions that'll move you forward consistently over time in whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, whether it's the overcoming of an addiction, a weight loss transformation, you're trying to accelerate in your business, in your career, you're trying to improve your relationship. You pick the area of your life you want to improve. The universal successes, the universal principles of success are applicable. And a lot of them are doing small things daily over time consistently. Mm-hmm, sometimes it's like the challenge is like, okay, well, why don't people just take the 15 minutes that is needed? And I think a lot of times it's rooted in that lack of self-love, because we will drive to the end of the earth for others. We will miss work. We will miss sleep. We will empty out our bank account. We will do whatever we can for another person, but we won't do the small daily things that we need for ourselves. And I think it's a lot of that is just rooted when we look in the mirror on a daily basis, the person that is looking back at us, we don't hold that same deep love. And here's the challenging part, right? Because I think a lot of that stems from not doing the things that we know we should be doing. So there's the challenge, right? Is we don't value and love ourselves. We don't see that coming back at us because we don't do the small daily things. But the only way to improve the love is by doing the small daily things. So it's like, there's the cycle that everybody kind of existed. And then you said something else, with they stay in this echo chamber box, right? They then go based in their toxic kind of limiting belief system into the world of social media. And the algorithm knows where they're coming from based upon the content that they're following, liking, and engaging with. So the algorithm links them up in a world, a reality, a perception of the world that is congruent with theirs. So yep. All they hear now is this repeating echo chamber of you're not worthy, you'll never achieve enough, victim, these people are this and this and all. Like, we could get into all the like,
oh my
the
things gosh, right yeah, there, man.
There within the world, but I didn't want to move on with like, highlighting that because it was just like just so profound in what you were sharing there.
Right. Yeah. No. And yeah. I think the points that we're making and the big thing that I want people to take away from at least this part of this conversation because it's so important is going back to what you know what we both said is that self love, that self value. It's very, very hard to give all of ourselves to somebody else in a relationship if we don't first love ourselves.
Oh,
and I mean, because one of the big things is if we don't believe, you know, and self-esteem is a totally different thing that I don't want to get off on. But if we don't see the value in ourselves, oftentimes we don't project our best self to the person we're trying to be with, and then we misinterpret the things that are coming back to us, and it just stands as this ugly barrier. I don't care if it's your significant other, you know, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your coworkers, your boss, whatever. If you don't have a true value for you, it's hard to mm-hmm. ever see any of that goodness coming back and project a goodness towards that other person. I just want people to realize how important that is because when we do interact with each other, and that's one of the most important things that I think people need to do is get out of that echo chamber that we were talking about. Get out of your room, get off the social media, get out there and speak with your neighbor. It's so much of what I talk about lately, Frank. It's, but we have to focus on ourselves a little bit more and really be the best us before we can project mm-hmm. the best, our best self out to other people. You know, one of the things, you know, you talked about, you know, relationships and this unfortunate, you know, gentleman that was on, you know, talking about this divorce and how he really loved his wife and couldn't understand why, you know, if he was giving so much love to her, how she could be leaving. And it takes me back to things in my earlier life and in relationships. And I was absolutely atrocious at relationships. One of the most god-awful people to try and be in a relationship with. But you know what I figured out after a while was that common denominator was me, right? Mm. And I took a long time because I had a lot more problems than just relationships, but it took an awful long time of just stopping the relationship cycle, stopping that toxic cycle of relationships and focusing on me and trying to get right with myself before I could be in a relationship again. Once I got past that, you know, I mean, I'm married right now to the best friend I've ever had in the world. The greatest person I could ever be around. You know, we got beautiful children. I am blessed beyond belief. But you know what? I had to stay single for probably a good 6 or 7 years mm-hmm. after a very long series of very toxic relationships before I could get to that point. So talk about that a little bit, because I know that's one of the things that, you know, I know, you know, you've talked about different things with men and the different things that stand in the way of being a good, you know, partner, a good in good relationships. And I know a lot of the people that you talk to as well have those same kind of troubles. So speak to that a little bit, wouldn't you, Frank?
Yeah, no, absolutely, brother. I mean, that sits at a big core of the work that I do. I'm currently, you know, in that kind of singleness season that you've been in. You know, yours, I think you said, was 6 or 7 years. So I'm coming off what will be, you know, almost a 3-year, I guess, single streak. I don't know if calling it a streak is applicable here.
Just call it a hiatus. That's what the
yeah. Yeah, there you go. But, you know, I mentioned that, you know, I run a company that helps guys overcome pornography and rebuild their life. And, you know, all of this started with a lot of my own overcomings first. So I had to get, you know, I had to get free from a lot of things that were really holding me back from being able to show up as the man I needed to in the relationships that I was in. You know, I was giving a vast majority of my attention, time, energy, sexual resources to a screen. And I think when you do that, it's almost impossible to give yourself wholly to another person. Like you just can't. It's just the barrier that it creates. You know, talk about the perception, how it changes your brain, how you look at women, you know, placing them as sexual objects. You know, that's obviously one whole, you know, conversation that we could go down. But I think a lot of a man's issues with pornography is oftentimes rooted in his ability to be alone and by himself. You know, we live in such a hyper-stimulated world, that so few people stop and ever just quiet. So few people, you know, we have a distraction for pretty much anything. So anytime, you know, you're alone and it's quiet and it starts to get uncomfortable, right? Because what comes to surface when you're alone and quiet in your own thoughts, it's linking us back to the other conversation that we were having, how we see ourselves, how we feel about ourselves. And if you live in the cycle of not following through and doing the things that you know you should be doing, i.e. you're not taking care of your health and fitness, i.e. you're not taking care of your finances, being the provider that you should, i.e. you're not showing up as the intimate partner in your relationship that they deserve you to be, i.e. you're avoiding whatever community service, social obligations you have. When you're alone and quiet and by yourself, those are the thoughts that come to the surface. And when you get those thoughts, it's difficult to sit in them, process them, figure out, hey, why you're not executing on whatever needs to be executed upon and what would be a game plan of action to get back in line with yourself. Instead of doing that work, you distract yourself. You distract yourself with video games, Instagram, social media, Netflix, which all is going to be an edge effect that ultimately the men that I work with that are struggling with pornography leads them down the pathway of getting to pornography, because you're now getting into like the brain's need for stimulus and dopamine and all the little hits that you get from social media will only fully, you know, reach their potential with porn. So that's kind of the brain. So I forget where I was starting with all this, but
I don't know, man, but you were on a roll. No, and I think, and I think it's so important what you're talking about. And I heard a statistic today that just, you know, it made me, it hurt. It sucked. It's not cool. With the onset of the internet, porn has become much more prevalent. And so many youngsters are getting on the internet nowadays, and you do the best you can protect these kids from. We've got Congress now, which is a failure at almost everything, but they're talking about what is the age that's appropriate to now allow children to get on social media. And I think social media, people heard me talk about this plenty on the D-Rate Day podcast, social media is just this dumpster fire of hate, lies, and misinformation. You talked, Frank, about the algorithms and how they know how to keep you in this, you know, bubble of hate and misery. I mean, if that's what you seek out, that's what you're going to find, yep. And that's what they're going to feed you. And the dopamine rushes that you get from these little bouts of toxicity. One of the other things that I say quite often is toxicity will make it halfway around the world before some civility will get its first like and share. It's because it drives people. It all of a sudden, it gets your adrenaline up, right? It gets, you see something that angers you. They're pushing this fear, outrage, grievance, because they know it's going to boost that adrenaline. It's going to get you fired up. Mm-hmm. It's going to make you click some more. The same way with porn, the same way with social media, the same, you know, they do these things to just suck you in. But the earlier these kids get exposed to this crap, I heard a statistic today. I don't even know if I got to it before I started rambling. Saw a thing today, Frank, that said The average child is now exposed to porn at 9 years old. It was 11, now it's down to 9. And porn is one thing for an adult. You know, if an adult can process it, you know, adults still get that dopamine rush from it. But when a child with that impressionable young mind gets exposed to pornography at 9 years old, they will never be the same again. It does a horrific thing to that young, impressionable mind. And I think as adults especially, we need to do everything possible to shield our kids, not only from porn, but from social media in general, from that toxicity that we're finding in that internet ecosystem, because it is not healthy.
Yeah, man. God, speaking about, you know, like how you fall into this echo chamber and this kind of constant barrage and cycle, and it's almost like sucks you in. I mean, how is it that companies like Meta, which, you know, owns Facebook and Instagram, and companies like Twitter, and all these social media channels, that their services are free? Like, anybody has a Facebook account, it's free. You have an Instagram account, it's free. Like, we're not paying for any of these services. And the reason that they're some of the most high revenue producing companies in the world, and some of the, you know, the wealthiest companies, is because we become the product. So the entire model and system is designed to get you on and keep you on as long as possible.
That's right.
Because every second, every fourth post that you scroll on Facebook and Instagram is money in the company's pocket. So the longer that they can keep you engaged. Now, they do that by what you were getting to, speaking to the separation. I mean, I don't know how political we want to get on this conversation here, but we obviously saw a massive rise in the split of our country in the you know, handful of years, the 3+ years, because if we can get you to lean further to one side, whether it's the right and or left, what the algorithm and what these companies know is, the further that you lean into a particular side, the more predictable you are about your ideology and your beliefs.
That's right.
So if we can push you based upon the things that we present in front of you, we can then begin to shift your belief system to a certain degree. And the further that we can shift you, the more that we can predict what you're going to want to engage with, which means the more that we can present in front of you based on our terms, keeping you locked into the algorithm for a longer period of time. You know,
no, that's absolutely right. I mean, that's why I do so much work with the organization Braver Angels. I mean, that's one of my biggest missions in life right now, is to try and bridge that divide, try and get people who have gone to the toxicity level, gone. I don't care if it's the left or the right. I mean, I'm an unapologetic Christian conservative. That's who I am. That's who I am. It's not 100% my identity, but I don't let that toxicity keep me from having conversations with people that I disagree with. There are so many people, like you talked about, there is a vested interest on the parts of the social media platforms, on the parts of the media, on the parts of the politicians, to keep us pissed, keep us divided, keep us apart. But there are organizations, incredible organizations out there, like Braver Angels, like Bridge USA, Unify America, and different organizations like that, that are working hard every single day to try and bring people together, to try and bring out the civility and stamp down the toxicity. I mean, that's what the Derate the Hate podcast is about, my friend. Mm. That's what we try to do. It's not just about bettering ourselves and bettering the mission statement for the podcast, bettering the world one attitude at a time. If we better our own attitudes and understand, take that personal accountability and really realize that person we disagree with is not a monster. They're not some subhuman, you know, entity that we can't have a conversation with. We just disagree, and we just need to have that conversation, or this world will never be better. It will never be the world that we want it to be if we stay divided, if we stay mad, stay angry. So we got to think about that, right? We got to think about, why do they try to keep us engaged for so long? How do they keep us engaged for so long? Is there a reason they're trying to keep us mad? Because, like you said, it's a money generator. We are the product. We are the reason that they make billions and billions of dollars, but never have to pay a cent to be on their platform.
Yeah, and fear is, and fear and emotion are incredible drivers of human behavior. So you know, if we can engage you in, you know, in the emotion of fear, we can get you to move in the desired direction that we're trying to move you in. The second thing that you chimed on, I want to make sure we kind of put a chain on or put a loop back on that one as well, was this. What I would say is becoming an understanding that we have the first generation of humans that are raised on porn. There's a great book actually came out yesterday by a gentleman that runs an organization called Exodus Cry. Benji Nolo, had him on the podcast back in, October of last year. Benji's a award-winning documentary filmmaker that has made many films on the dangers of pornography, the links between human trafficking. He also produced a documentary called Raised on Porn, which shines a light on this generation of young people that have had this internet, the access to internet streaming pornography, really since the time that they were, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. And what it's done in the terms of shaping their mindset, shaping their belief system, their views, perception on relationships, intimacy, sexuality, all of these things. Mm-hmm. I don't think we even are in the middle of this transition. Gary Wilson, who wrote Your Brain on Porn, has a great YouTube video called The Great Porn Experiment, which is shining a light on many of the same issues here, that at the ages of 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 16, 18, 20 years old, your brain is not fully developed. Like the male brain specifically, 25 to 27 years old. So if you get access to this thing and it begins to become a regular occurrence in your life at the ages of 8, 9, 10 years old, what's that doing to shaping literally the neurochemistry, the neurobiology of your brain? You know, most young men, young boys that are becoming young men by the ages of 16, 18, 20, 22, whenever they had their first sexual experience in real life, has had hundreds, if not thousands, of sexual releases. Like, we have to understand the impact that that is going to have down the road on the relationships, on the intimacy, on your inability to connect with others. Yeah, this is very important thing for people to understand that is going on, and it's shaping our society, and porn is sitting at the root of a lot of it.
It is. I mean, and you know, this is an incredible awareness piece, Frank. I mean, for people to understand, and I think the big thing that I want people to get out of, you know, this particular part of the conversation, there's been so much important that's come out of this conversation. I know we're getting close to the end of our time, Frank, but the big thing that I want people to realize is, you know what? That internet can be very valuable, but it can also be very dangerous. And I think a lot of people do realize that. But when it comes to your kids, when it comes to the things that the kids are being exposed to nowadays, I mean, this is an entirely different world than, I don't care if it's you know, the kids that used to you know, run down to the you know, magazine store or whatever, and get a hold of a Playboy magazine. The stuff that you can find online nowadays is a lot different. It's a lot more intense, and then just the general dangers of the you know, social media and different media platforms and what it does to those young impressionable minds. I really want people to really take this as a strong awareness piece. And you brought up some really, really important authors and things, Frank, and we'll link to those in the show notes. And I'm sure that people can find that. Talk to the DTH listeners, Frank, about where would you like them to go to find out more about Frank Rich, the superhuman life and rebuilt recovery. Go ahead and give out your websites, tell people where they can or what they can find there, and we'll kind of wrap things up.
Absolutely. real quick before I do that, in 60 seconds, I'm going to answer that question that I avoided early on when you asked me about how do you find your passion or purpose.
Nice.
I got five questions for the audience. So here's something that's real kind of actionable that people can kind of walk away with, because I know we kind of went in a lot of different things here today. If you're struggling finding your purpose in life, here's five questions that you can literally spend some time on, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe think about, journal on these things, meditate these. I did an entire podcast episode on this. But number one, who do you care about, or who do you ultimately have a heart for? You know, what group of people in the world do you see yourself wanting to help? Number two, what are you passionate about? A little bit different. So there's a group of people that you care about, but then there's a passion that is living inside of you. What is that passion? Third question is, what do you do well? And a good way to think about that is, what do the people in your life come to you and ask you for help for? Like, are you the handyman? Are you good with your hands? Do people call you when they need work around the house? Are you somebody that can emotionally help people process issues? So your strength is kind of emotional intelligence, maybe emotional regulation. Do people come to you when they're trying to solve financial problems? So just think about what you do well. What do people come to you for? Number four, what bothers you? So there's a group of people in their life that you want to help. What bothers you, though? What problem in the world do you see yourself wanting to fix? Perfect example is, I saw a problem with men that were struggling with pornography and not showing up in their life the way that they should across all areas of their life, right? And then number five, what opportunities are sitting right there in front of you? So I think when you take all those five things and kind of pair them together, you'll see what your purpose is. And then it just gets to taking small daily steps towards manifesting that and bringing that to service of others for the world. But that's an episode you can find on The Superhuman Life. So you asked, where can people find me? You can find me at The Superhuman Life on all podcast platforms. So Apple, Spotify, wherever you're consuming those. That specific episode was episode 61. So it was one I did a handful of years ago, back in January of 2021. So you can find the podcast there. You mentioned some of the social media stuff. So really active on Instagram these days. That's at Coach Frank Rich. Our podcast has a YouTube channel that's called The Superhuman Life Podcast, where we do full episodes and daily clips. And then I have a YouTube channel as well, and that's under the name handle Coach Frank Rich as well. And if you're interested in information about our coaching services and company, you can find that at rebuiltrecovery.com.
Very cool, my friend. This has been an incredible conversation, brother. It's been a good one, and I know the DTH listeners are going to get a lot of value out of it. And everything you just said, the ways to find Frank Rich will be in the show notes for this episode. And I appreciate you, man. Keep it up. Keep up better in the world, man.
Thank you, brother.
Friends, if there's anything in this episode that provided exceptional value to you, please make sure to hit that share button. Share it with your friends. Share it far and wide. And of course, if you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe right from our website so you can get the Derate the Hate podcast sent to your email inbox every week. So this is Wilk wrapping up for the week, saying get out there, be kind to one another, be grateful for everything that you've got, and remember, it's up to you to make each and every day the day that you want it to be. If there is something that you would like to share with me, you can catch me on most social media platforms, or you can email me directly, wilk@wilksworld.com. With that, my friends, I am going to back on out of here, and we will catch you next week. Take care.